The readings for today, with which we've had two of the three appointed for this Sunday, all invite us to think about what it means to be faithful, what it is that God expects of us, and how we should respond. Are you complacent? Asks Zephaniah. Are you asleep? Asks Paul. You might like to look at the reading from 1 Thessalonians later. Are you interested only in your self-preservation? Asks Jesus. And as we reflect on the readings, let us consider what we will say if God were to return today and demand that we give an account of ourselves to him. I wonder, are you an optimist or a pessimist? Do you look at a glass that is half full or half empty? Do you accept the situation that you're in, or do you argue against it and try to change it? Perhaps you're a keen hobby enthusiast and you like to read up on your interests to learn how to do things better. Well, our gospel reading today, known as the parable of the talents, looks at three servants who were tasked to look after their master's money. We know the story well, but we need to explore it perhaps a little more deeply. Two made successful investments, but the third wouldn't take the risk. Parables are often what are called allegories. They illustrate something deeper in what Jesus, in this case, is wanting us to understand. The parable is often a good story in itself, but here we need to look at the allegory behind it. Jesus is the master who is going to go away for a long time. And it's interesting, of course, he's just coming up to, he's in Jerusalem, just coming up to his impending crucifixion and his return, and then he's going again at the ascension, looking forward to his second coming. That's that long time that he describes here. The servants are the faithful entrusted with God's riches. The word we use as a talent in our modern meaning, of course, extends to those gifts and abilities that God has blessed us with. In the time that Jesus was speaking, a talent was specifically a sum of money. And it was of such large value that it highlighted the trust that God was putting in to his servants. And these servants, as it says in the first letter of Peter, like good stewards of the manifold grace of God, serve one another with whatever gift each of you has received, whatever talent, whatever ability we have. So we need to think of these talents as being God's blessing, the spiritual gift, the practical abilities that he has endowed us each with. Now, the first and second servant were wholeheartedly committed to looking after the master's assets. And we too are charged with taking responsibility to represent God's interest in the world. We need to show our care for God's assets, to bring that good news that he has entrusted to us for all of creation. Interestingly, in the parable, the master gives the talents according to their ability. And so we might have been given five talents or two talents or one talent. And we should not denigrate ourselves if we have not been given a whole range of different abilities. What's important, and what is important in this story, is about the 100% return that the first two servants gave. The one with five talents earned five more. The one with two talents earned two more. And the one with one talent could have earned one more. He could have demonstrated a 100% return on his commitment by showing total diligence in our work and service. In Proverbs, it's interesting, it picks up this point. Proverbs 11, some give freely, yet grow all the richer. Others withhold what is due and only suffer want. A generous person will be enriched, and one who gives water will get water. Water, of course, was such a precious commodity in those times, as it indeed is still today. So what the writer of the Proverbs is cautioning us is to use the riches with which we have been endowed. And of course, our third servant feared getting it wrong. And we need to be cautious, don't we, from this too, to not to be tempted to say that we can only do very little because we've been only given very little. It's not what you have, it's what you do with what you have. And we still can give 100% effort in redeeming what God has entrusted to us. This third servant, he didn't try. In his mathematics, one plus naught was going to equal naught. He denied his responsibility and did not take up his involvement with caring for the master's asset as he should. He did not acknowledge the master's trust and love. And perhaps an interesting thing for us to reflect on, if we're not doing the work that God asks of us, then we're actually doing the devil's work by default. And so we are challenged by this parable in the allegories that it points us to, that we must be careful ourselves to witness to God's trust in all he has given us. Of course, some who have many talents, some fives and twos, as it were, may also bury their talents and squander it. Again, in that mathematics, five plus naught equals naught. And many ones do their work with 100% commitment. And as I have subtitled this talk, they're investing by faith. So what's the consequence of our response to God's call on the assets he's given us? We can learn that we're going to gain strength and empowerment in the talents we have from continued use. The expression use it or lose it refers to skills, refers to our muscular prowess. It refers too to spiritual gifts. We go into atrophy from indolence. And even if we are unconfident or fearful of using the gifts that God's given us, then we might be able to use our gifts with others. The worthless servant was chastised for not going to the bankers. You ought to have invested my money with the bankers on my return. I would have received what was my own with interest. So whilst we might not be able perhaps to go out and do frontline Christian work ourselves, we can support missionaries who are called out into the world. We can support the work of Bible societies and those who translate God's word to go out to parts of the world where God's word is still greatly needed. And we can support the Christian media in their promotion of God's word, either through books or through Christian radio. We need to make the wisest use of all that is entrusted of us, either directly by ourselves or through others, and to demonstrate that responsible stewardship. And I wonder whether we think about what we learn in our fellowship through our listening to sermons, through our Christian reading, through our prayers, how we can practice what we learn in our community, how we can take the investment of the talent God's given us in our fellowship out into the world. It's really important for us to hold to the truth that church life is not separated from daily life. God's trust invested in us bears fruit by being taken into the world. There's a lovely expression which you may know of, which says that money and ability is like manure. Don't leave it in a heap. It has to be spread around to do any good. And so we are called to account to God how we've used his investment in us, to account for that 100% of faithfulness, rather than just thinking how useful those talents might be to us. It doesn't matter if God's endowed us with a small array of talents or has given us a large gift. It's how we use whatever we have been given. Now, just looking back to our reading from Zephaniah, who was announcing to Judah God's approaching judgment because of their complacency. They just accepted what God had given them. And they said, the Lord will not do good, nor will he do harm. He's sufficiently distant not to be involved in our lives. Now, isn't that a cautionary tale for ourselves? Do we acknowledge that actually God wants to be right in the middle of our Christian experience, our Christian witness, and our Christian lives? And because those people in Jerusalem believed that God would not interfere in their self-satisfaction, they wanted to keep him at a distance. They didn't want to be challenged by God, and neither did that third servant. And by burying God's asset in the ground, he demonstrated his poor opinion of himself. I've only been given one asset, one talent. What can I do with that? And of course, he demonstrates his poor opinion of his master. I knew you were a harsh man, reaping where you did not sow. So I was afraid. We need to make sure that we are not overburdened by a sense of failure and rejection. God loves us and has trusted us with the gifts that he wants us particularly to use in his work. And we are always reminded that it is our choice how we respond to God's love and grace. And may we do so with eagerness and not complacency. How can we feel more confident and equipped to live out the good news of Jesus in all areas of our life? How can we identify the talent that God's given each one of us to invest for him as a disciple of Jesus? Jane might bring up the next slide, which looks at an initiative that the diocese is encouraging us to take part in, which is to develop a personal discipleship plan. Okay, perhaps Jane could bring that up there, but it highlights that there are six questions at the core of developing our plan to grow as disciples. The first is C, what are my core gifts? Am I sharing them in my everyday life or work? Am I attracted to somewhere particular where God might be calling me to serve? Am I listening to where I'm being guided to gain experience or insight? Might the Bible be showing me where God is leading me? What is my life plan? What would I be doing if I could invent my ideal future? And what is my experience today? What energizes me from current and past work I've done? And finally, discipleship. How am I deepening my daily spiritual life and faith? You'll notice that all that spells the word called, for we are indeed all called to be God's disciples. And I'm going to put some information on the website to encourage you to explore this. And if you wish to consider how to develop as a disciple, then we can set up a confidential conversation to explore what it might mean for you. So please do pray about this and contact me if you'd like to pursue this, and I'll be putting that detail on the website for you to explore. So, going back to my earlier question, If God were to return today, what account will we give of our handling of God's trust? Amen.